Welcome to the Expat Cast. This is the podcast where expats share their stories about fitting in, standing out, and every mishap on the journey to finding home abroad. And this is a special series within the series called Terre Talks. I'm your host, I'm Nicole, except now I have a co-host. Do you want to say hi?
Hi, everybody. I'm Zoe.
I roped Zoe into this because the Terre Talks is going to be a little mini series of 10 episodes where I talk a lot about Paraguay because no one really knows anything about it. And I think it's really, really great. But I tried recording it on my own. I think I'm up to 3 or 4 times. And I even edited the one version like up until the last 10 minutes. And it's just, I can't talk alone. Like, I just keep going and going and talk about things that are not relevant. So Zoe's here to keep me in line.
I'm going to rope you in.
This is going to be the last season or series of the Expat Cast, at least for the foreseeable future. In the background of hosting a podcast, you have to pay a bunch of fees to have like a website and a domain and a host and all this other stuff. And I am not really putting a podcast out very regularly, and I don't want to keep paying all this money. And I stopped doing sponsors, so I'm not having any income. So anyway, basically due to financial reasons, I have this feed until about July, and we're gonna use it to go out on something pleasant. Since my last episode was kind of negative, it was me talking about leaving Germany and moving here, and I want to share some of the brightness and beauty that is Paraguay. So that's how we've landed here. And Zoe, you ended up being a great person to have on board because you have actually in the last year been to Paraguay twice.
I'm basically a Paraguayan expert.
I was about to say, let's rewind the calendar then to March of 2023. That's my rewinding noise.
I loved the rewind noise. I think that was really effective, and I think everyone will understand it right away.
So here's a fun fact about where exactly we've landed. If we rewind the clocks 1 year, I was leaving Germany. Like, it's my anniversary, like now or in the next day or two.
Wow, happy anniversary. Do you have a fun portmanteau for Spanish for how long you've lived in Paraguay?
I don't, because yeah, in Germany, I started calling the anniversary of my move my Geburtstag, because in German, Geburtstag is your birthday. And if you switch out the word for birth with the word German, it's Geburtstag. But I don't have anything clever like that in Spanish. So it's just 1 year of me living here.
All right. Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, for the moving part of things, the move was really tough. But when I landed here, even landing here was like so crazy because it was German winter. It was 5 degrees or something on the day I left. But yeah, when I landed, okay, you know when you like go into a parking garage in summer and it's super humid and you're underground and the air is not flowing?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Okay, so when I exited the airplane, that is what I thought was happening, but it turns out that is just how it feels in Paraguay. It was like 40 degrees because March in Paraguay is the end of summer. So the temperature difference was pretty crazy, and I will always remember really fondly exiting the airport. I thought that no exiting of an airport could ever top it until a recent experience with you, which we'll have to share about in a second. But I was so worried about flying with Charlie, who is my cat that I brought from Germany. He was below with the bags. And so I didn't see him since Germany. And I just remember, like, I got through the line for immigration and his cage was just there. Like, he was just sitting there and I could see him right away and I could tell he was completely fine. And just like immediate relief of like, okay, Charlie is here and safe. And then I got my bags and I had to go to this like check for animals. There's these like sliding doors that separate that section, which is like the last part of arrivals until the part of arrivals where people can greet you. And the doors opened and I was like, are there celebrities on my flight? Because it was just packed with probably like 100 people screaming, cheering. There's balloons, there's signs. Like, it was so energetic. And mind you, I landed at like 6 or 7 in the morning on a weekday. My partner was there and he'd made like a little homemade sign for me and Charlie. And he was like also jumping up and down, sharing his sign. And I hadn't seen him in months. And it was just like, all was just such a good feeling. And the last thing that was really stressing me was Charlie's paperwork. It was like this whole ordeal in Germany, and they were like convinced the test that I'd ordered, the results came in the day I was flying, and they could only email them to me. They couldn't give me like a piece of paper, and they were like, it's not gonna work, it's gonna be a huge issue. And I was like, I think it will be fine, but yeah, you just never know. So anyway, when I was doing the check with the vet, like the airport vet, my Spanish was next to nothing at the time, and he very quickly realized that, and it definitely seemed like he just did not have the energy to deal with communicating with me. He kind of glanced at it and then just shrugged and waved me along, and I was like, oh hell yeah. Like, it just felt so good coming from a place where everything's so strict all the time, everything's a huge deal. And, you know, I spoke like fluent German and people would still give me crap and treat me like I wasn't good enough at their language. So to land somewhere where I'm like, I speak like 10 words of Spanish and no one cares and everything's fine. It was just so, so nice. It was a really good welcome. But do you want to share? So you came to Paraguay. We didn't mention this. We're best friends from childhood.
Oh, yeah. Who am I?
You're just Zoe. You're my best friend from childhood, and you came to visit for a second time recently. You also landed around 6 a.m. What happened when you got off the airplane?
Yeah, great question. I'm still trying to figure it out. I landed, started going through immigration, and there was somebody giving an interview. There was some sort of TV camera. I had been under the impression that there was a team of children soccer players on my flight. This was just like a theory I had developed, but I, you know, just kept going through the process, going through immigration. I get to baggage claim. There's a harp player just in the middle of baggage claim. Nobody's looking twice at it. I am exhausted, and I get through those sliding doors, and there are also hundreds and hundreds of people packed into that arrivals hall. They're all cheering. There's actually only a small pathway through the people to walk through. There are news cameras just focused on that small pathway that I'm forced to walk down. Everyone is screaming, cheering. There is a band, a live band, playing in the arrivals hall. I get out of the airport. There's a second live band, some sort of marching band situation, and a large bus. I've never had this kind of welcome in my life. It was such fanfare for me. It did seem as though it was for the soccer team, though.
Paraguayan soccer team qualified for the Olympics. This is what we learned later, right?
Yes, it was not children.
It was just adults. I don't know why you thought it was a child.
I am still confused by it.
Yeah, so suffice it to say, I mean, my first impression of Paraguay was definitely like, these people get excited about things and really celebrate.
They love to party. I also do feel as though culturally, there's like a huge culture of celebration and excitement. Paraguayan people really seem to take any opportunity to be hype.
For sure. I mean, like, qualifying for the Olympics is not winning a medal or something, you know, but like that soccer team got this amazing welcome just for that. There's definitely some cultural truths in those stories that we just shared. But okay, back to March. After I got home and arrived, it was just like settling in time. So in Asuncion, we live in a house. It's like it's not a standalone house. It's not as big as US houses, but 3 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, a backyard with a mango tree in it. Like, it felt like a mansion, especially coming from Germany. And we're paying actually less in rent than we were for a 1-bedroom apartment in Freiburg. So even though it was half empty because we had shipped some of our belongings, but they weren't there yet. So it was like kind of this empty, echoey house, but it still just felt so nice. And we had this hammock right below the mango tree. And I just remember I tore through like 3 or 4 books in like 2 weeks. And I also just remember laying in the hammock and just crying in relief. It was a really nice beginning to being here. Lots of sort of trying to recover and like go slow and figure out, you know, what I want to do with my life, because I'd left my job to make this move. And I work as a librarian normally, and that's not a career you can just keep picking up and putting down wherever you end up. Along the way, I traveled a lot. So maybe I'll just kind of run through where I traveled real quick.
Yeah, I love this list of places you've traveled in the last year.
I'd never been to South America before that moment when I stepped off the plane and found Charlie. Now I've been to almost every country, at least for like a day. I will say there's going to be a whole episode later in the series about travel, so I'm just going to kind of blow through these like an overview level, and then if people want to know more specifics or like are interested in certain trips or whatever, you guys can write in and let me know, and I'll be very happy to dive into that. The brief version is, in April for the Easter break, we decided to go to Uruguay, which is the one on the coast. It was super, super lovely and relaxing. Also, my first time experiencing the spontaneous nature of travel in South America. Like, you don't book things in advance. You just kind of show up. And that was a huge adjustment we'll have to get into. In May, my partner had to go to Santiago in Chile for like a work thing. And I just sort of tagged along. So we spent a week mostly in Santiago, a little bit in, what's the place on the coast?
Valparaíso.
Yeah. We were there for a weekend. Right after that, I went to the U.S. for a couple weddings. Then in July, basically like 4 days after I got back from the U.S., you showed up.
There I was.
That was your first time in Paraguay. So you came for, what, like a month and a half? And we spent 2 or 3 weeks in Paraguay. And then a month, basically, like 3 or 4 weeks in Bolivia. After that, there was a bit of a break on bigger travel until December. December and January are like the summer holidays here in Paraguay. So we went Freiburg and other like places I had connections to in Germany, and then flew over to the US from there and spent Christmas with my friends and family in my hometown, then came back to Paraguay for like a couple days, regrouped, swapped out the winter coats for lighter clothing, and went to Ecuador. We were supposed to be in Ecuador for the whole month. The plan was go to Galapagos for like 1 or 2 weeks and then have 2-ish weeks, 2 to 3 weeks to travel the mainland in Ecuador. But the day that we flew to Galapagos, there were these like kind of crazy terrorist attacks, like some drug cartels had taken over the prisons. They like stormed this news station and like took over the news station. Luckily, the government got control of everything again, but the whole situation was really unclear at first. So after Galapagos, made a last minute decision to fly somewhere else. And the closest, cheapest place to get to was Colombia. So I ended up spending a couple weeks there. On top of all that, I've gone on like a couple different road trips or like longer getaways in Paraguay. And then now, so February/March of 2024, I moved. So I've been in this new house that I'm recording in right now for like officially a week.
Happy weekiversary.
Oh, I thank you. Yeah, so that's an overview of the travel. I will say also, when going to visit Germany, I also ended up stopping in Portugal, Spain, and Switzerland. And on the way to Ecuador, I had like a day-long layover in Peru and Lima, so I spent the day there. So it's just been a lot of places.
For 1 year, I mean, it's pretty wild. Which I know was part of the appeal of moving to South America, was sort of easy access to all this whole different continent and all the travel that you can do while you're in South America for a few years. So you've really been able to take advantage of that opportunity.
That part of the move has panned out really wonderfully, and Paraguay being right in the center of the continent is amazing. In another future episode, we're going to talk about my love for the Asuncion Airport. I think it's the best thing ever. Yeah, so that was travel. And then there's life.
Yeah, what have you been up to?
I started Spanish classes. I don't know, when I moved to Germany, I had to hit the ground running. I was so determined to work as a librarian, which meant I had to learn German fluently. Also, I felt like I really needed it for everyday life, and I just felt so much pressure. It was a lot. Psychologically, I don't know if it was the best decision. I mean, it worked out, and I was able to integrate and get a job in my field really quickly. But when I look back at that time in my life, I'm always like a little heavy-hearted, you know? And because of the way that I moved here, like for a partner's job, like I don't have all of those pressures, you know? And I know that my industry doesn't exist here. So I've really been milking it in terms of like taking it slow, letting myself be ready before I start getting serious about it. So it took a couple months, but yeah, I started some classes. Learning Spanish has been so wonderful. Like it's, first off, much easier to learn as an English speaker than German. And it turns out when you're not shoving something down your throat, it can be fun to learn a new language. It doesn't have to be miserable.
Turns out.
Every single person that I speak to here is so kind about my horrible, horrible Spanish. And that's also been really nice, this like relaxation feeling of like, I can walk into a store and I know I'm not going to be able to say what I need to say, but I also can assume that the person I'm talking to is going to be so friendly and like really willing to meet me halfway and like we'll figure it out together.
What's the English level in Paraguay? Because in Germany, you know, people are not nice about it, but a lot of people know English. So theoretically, they can, if they are nice, they can really jump in and help you out with what you're trying to say. But is that the same experience in Paraguay?
I would say a lot of Germans speak English and speak decent English. And that almost never was something that I experienced and got to benefit from. I basically felt like even if they could speak English, they weren't interested in it. They weren't willing to. Versus here, I would say the English level is pretty low. Although when someone does speak English, they tend to speak quite good English. So I have the feeling it's just not offered in school the way that it is in a lot of European school systems. Caveat, Paraguay is a bilingual country, so they everyone already speaks two languages, just neither of them is English. More on that also in another episode. But yeah, I would say sometimes at cafes, people will try like one or two words a little bit. Another thing is that I did get a job.
Ooh.
Yeah, I started working for a YouTuber I'm assuming a lot of people that listen to this podcast will have heard of. Her name is Feely from Germany. So she's from Munich. Her name is Feely, hence the name. But she lives in the US and has a really successful YouTube channel about cultural differences and things like that. It's such a different life, like working. It's fully remote, like part-time contractor kind of a work, which is like almost in every aspect, it's completely different from the way I've worked in the past, which is in libraries, it's like always in person and it's government jobs, you know, in the US and in Germany, I worked for the government. So yeah, that's been a huge life shift, is doing this whole like remote flexible working thing. And I gotta say, I dig it.
Yeah.
Especially with all the travel, I feel like I've mostly just like taken the work with me and I've worked from many of the places that I listed. And then just taking time off as I wanted. So yeah, that's been really great. And just another piece of info that's maybe relevant as to why I haven't been sharing as much since I moved here is some stuff happened in my personal life, my private life, that consumed my entire attention for a very long time. We'll just put it under the category of mental health-wise. We're really demanding over the last year, unrelated to the move, unrelated to being an expat. So yeah, I'm not going to be sharing about anything in detail, but it's been brutal. And along the way of doing the travel and working and learning Spanish, I was also just like really, really struggling. And I still am, but I'm doing a bit better. And I'm trying to get back into doing things that make me feel more like myself, such as having creative outlets such as this podcast. So there's that. I think that's, yeah, if we're talking about serious things, then yeah, Charlie, my cat that I brought from Germany, who I mentioned earlier, passed away in October of 2023. Honestly, that one's like very relevant for why this podcast didn't come out. Let me back up a little. Charlie was an outdoor cat in Germany and Freiburg, so we just always had a door open. He really could come and go as he pleased, and that was kind of the idea in Paraguay too, was like we would work up to that, but it ended up being not possible. He ended up becoming an indoor cat, and that was fine for him. Like we had a garden that he could go into, but we kind of felt like, okay, it's like seems a little bit bored and a little bit lonely, like there's just no other animals around. We decided to get a second cat, mostly to keep Charlie company. And so in end of August, we took home a little tiny kitten named Tomato. Well, we named him Tomato. He's fluffy and he's gray and he's perfect. I'll be honest, like one of the versions of this podcast coming back that I tried was I was going to tell the story of Charlie and Tomato. I recorded two or three times with that, and every time I just was sobbing by like halfway through. And then when I was trying to edit it, that was the one I almost got done editing, but then I just couldn't. I was just crying. Yeah, September and October, things got rough. So basically, like, when we got Tomato, he was only a couple weeks old, like maybe 7 weeks old. There's like a whole process you can follow for introducing two cats to each other. And basically there was like a good 2 or 3 weeks where Tomato and Charlie couldn't, they weren't really like around each other. We were like working up to them being able to be in the same room and doing that with this like very specific method. And it was working. The first couple weeks of having two cats, they had to be apart. And we finally got to the point where we could have them around each other when we realized that Tomato had ringworm. And we realized that because I got ringworm and my partner got ringworm. For context, ringworm has nothing to do with worms. It's a fungal infection of the skin. It's not dangerous, really. Like, there's nothing bad that can happen. It's just like you get these red dots that grow and grow and grow, and they look really nasty. They're quite itchy, and they're just very contagious. Like, if you have skin-to-skin contact, it can spread, but also the spores can kind of drop into different fabrics and stuff. And then if Tomato was laying on a blanket and then I cuddled up in the blanket, I could get ringworm from that. So yeah, anyway, it's just annoying to deal with. I literally spent like basically all of September cleaning every freaking thing in my house repeatedly. We kept Charlie and Tomato separate because we didn't want Charlie getting infected as well. We were at the vet literally at least once a week because Tomato had to get like special prescription baths and whatever. Tomato, by the way, like lost at least half of his hair on his body. He was like a little naked mole rat. It was the saddest thing ever. Like, this was also during the throes of my mental health stuff. And all I wanted to do was shove my face into this tiny little adorable kitten. I freaking couldn't. And he didn't even have cute hair. He was just this like creepy looking little alien. It was so sad. Yeah, suffice it to say, like, there's basically the first month and a half of having two cats, and they were never really around each other for longer than like a little bit here and there. There was another school holiday. We decided to just take like a little road trip in Paraguay, and we decided to take the cats and we packed them all up. And at this point, like, it was just like on that trip was the first time that we were like, the ringworm is under control enough that we can let the cats around each other and we can cuddle with Tomato again. Yeah, I have like really bittersweet memories of that road trip because there were a lot of really beautiful moments where the two cats were together and they were getting along. And Charlie had a friend now, just like we'd planned. And Tomato is just like the sweetest little guy and like the cutest thing. So it was just really nice feeling like, okay, like now our little family is complete and we can just enjoy it. And yeah, oh man, I'm getting like emotional just talking about this part because on the second or third day of that trip, Charlie just stopped eating out of nowhere. We took him to the vet and we were in and out of the vet the next week and a half. Basically, he got this thing called FIP, F-I-P, which cat owners may have heard of. It's actually a type of coronavirus that has only been around a couple years. And like up until a year or two ago, it was 100% deadly. Like now there is a medicine that can help, but it's not FDA approved, so it's unregulated. You can only get it on the black market and it's very expensive and it's an 80-day injection. I don't know, it took a while for the vets to figure out that it was FIP because there's no tests all of South America. Like, you can't access any tests for it. He was like thrown into a couple different emergency surgeries over this time, and like it was really bad, and eventually they determined it was that, and we had this whole crisis of like, what do we do? Like, theoretically, if we can get this medicine, I mean, it was really expensive. Like, it would have cost thousands and thousands of dollars. We decided to go for it because Charlie was like really in a bad state at that point and we just wanted him to be better. Yeah, on this one Saturday, like, we were taking him to this like overnight clinic. This was like basically Friday, they had said it's this thing called FIP. Saturday, we decided, okay, like, let's do the medicine. We gave him the first batch of medicine, and the vet had recommended that he go to this clinic for overnight monitoring just for the first weekend. And after that, he should be stable enough to come home. It was like really scary, but really optimistic. It was like, now we know what it is. We've decided we're going to go through with this treatment. So we dropped him off at the clinic. We came home to like grab a couple pieces of paperwork they needed, and we were going to go drop them at the clinic. And we literally walked in the door and they basically said, you have to make the decision now. He's suffering a lot. And yeah, so within like 2 minutes of walking in the door that time, like walking in thinking, okay, this is a lot, but it's going to be okay. He got put down. Yeah. So it was really, yeah. See, I can't talk about it still.
Yeah. Well, it's really sad. I know it was really overwhelming for you guys, and it all happened so, so fast. And Charlie was just the best. And it's really sad that you guys didn't get to have both cats at full capacity and getting to be best buddies, because I know that Tomato would have really loved having Charlie around still.
Yeah, he was really special. Like, he was like having a roommate more than having a cat. Like, now having Tomato, I'm like, Tomato's a cat. Tomato acts like a cat in all the best and worst ways, and this is what it's like to have a pet cat. Charlie literally was a roommate. Like, he was so independent. He would come and go. You know, like, when you have a roommate, like, sometimes you'll have dinner together, but, like, not every night, just, like, occasionally, or you're gonna have a movie night or whatever. It was like that. Like, yeah, I don't know. He was just so special, and he was only 3 and a half. Yeah, so it's just, like, not something you ever think is gonna happen, you know? And, yeah, it's just, it's really heartbreaking to this day, and that's the update on the expat cats. But I guess, like, the other reason I felt like this was relevant to share in some amount of detail, when I put the podcast out in September, I planned to start releasing things in October, but then all the ringworm stuff happened, and then Charlie died, and then by the time I was, like, halfway recovered from that, it was November, and I was like, okay, well, I'm leaving in a month for 2 months. It makes no sense. When I got back in February, ended up moving, and you came to visit. Yeah, it's just kind of been one of those years where, like, one thing leads to the next, and all of a sudden, here we are. In the longer version of this initial episode, I was just going to call it the expat cats. And along the way, like, it was just really culturally revealing to go through that whole process, you know, everything from, like, what these hospitals and vets looked like and what kind of service you get, or the cost of things, the way people treat you. I learned a lot about Paraguay during those processes, but that's the short version. To wrap it up, I made this little list of some things that are really, like, in abundance here in my life in Paraguay, and some things that are really lacking.
I love it.
In abundance, sunshine. I've been really appreciating just being able to look outside and see blue skies and sunshine. There's definitely an abundance of kindness. I wanted to talk on another episode more about, like, Paraguayan people, but, like, they are just insanely nice. Like, I would say, I don't know how you feel, Zoe, but I would say, like, they're at least as friendly as Americans. However, sometimes I find US American friendliness, like, just really annoying and overly perky. Paraguayans don't really have that. Everyone's just really happy, but it seems really genuine, and it never feels forced. It just feels like everyone's in a good mood all the time.
Yeah, I think that that's pretty accurate. Coming from a city like Philadelphia, which is where I live, by the way, where I would say people are super nice, really friendly, very talkative, chatty bunch, but they're also, like, quite, like, hard or, like, stressed, or the mood is not generally, like, so light. In Paraguay, it really feels like everyone's just chilling. Like, it's just really relaxed. And I don't know, there might be places in the US that have more similarities to the Paraguayan attitude, where it's like, it is really friendly and also just like, yeah, here we are. Do you want some juice? Like, it's, there's like a notable lack of stress, at least with the people that I interacted with.
My next note of abundance is colors, smells, tastes, freshness. I wish I could encompass those into one thing somehow, because the food is that way. The architecture of the houses, they're also that way. Like, the people are also that way. Like, it's just this, it's just a really nice vibe. My next one on the list is trees. There's just an abundance of trees here.
So many trees.
It's,
yeah,
really great.
Not like a forest. Like, it's, no, it's not a very forested country. It's just, mm-mm, there's lots of trees.
Even in the capital, even in Asuncion, it's really pleasant. There's also a lot of cats and dogs on the street. Like, some of them are pets, some of them are free range. They just, you know, they just live on the street. It makes for really, really nice walks. One of my favorite things to do is just take a stroll in the evening and take in the trees, the cats and dogs, the colors, the smells, the freshness, the sunshine, all of that. There are an abundance of cafes. Probably my all-time favorite cafe I've ever been to is here in Asuncion, but then there's also, like, 5 more that are, like, in my top 10, and the design is wonderful, the menus are great, all the good juices, coffee, tejeje, which, by the way, it's another thing I did not explain what tejeje is, but listen to the episode before this one if you want to know. And finally, time. I experience an abundance of time here. And partially that's because my life is way less full. I'm, you know, working only part time. I don't have a ton going on in my free time. But I think generally I also feel it from the people around me. Like, no one's ever in a rush. Like, we were saying how people are not very stressed. Like, they're just not. Everyone's got time. No one's on a really strict schedule. And it's nice. What I've found lacking, I have not found very many places to get English books. I think books generally are kind of a luxury item here. They tend to be very expensive. A lot of things in general are just really hard to get. Tricky to find, limited in availability, and often kind of expensive. The next thing that's lacking is an Old Town area. This is probably like one of the weirder things. I've never been anywhere else that has the same downtown structure as Asunción.
It's eerie.
I want to get into it, I think even in the next episode, in more detail, so I'll just leave it there for now, but it is. It's eerie, it's strange, it's very unique, and it's definitely lacking. Also lacking are elevation and seasons. These are just things I was very used to, especially in Freiburg, Germany, in the middle of the Black Forest. There were mountains all around me, and there were four seasons, and it's just always hot, and then sometimes it's hotter. And it's a very flat country. Like, the highest point is, I think, 800 meters. And the last thing that I'm lacking is friends. With everything going on, all this travel, all these things in my life, I just have not made many friends. But yeah, I really got to work on that in year two.
I agree. I think that you definitely need friends.
For now, we'll just do a little wrap-up question, and I'll mention what the next episode is going to be. And to wrap up is, we're going to share capybara joke per person.
Yes, I am pumped about this. There's nothing I love more than a capybara joke.
We spent hours on a tiny little canoe in a river that's like a run off body of water from the Amazon in northern Bolivia. We spent hours coming up with capybara puns. So we are uniquely qualified for the segment. What do you call a capybara who just loves shopping in trendy fast fashion?
What do you call them?
You call them a capizara.
Oh! Okay, that one's good. What do you call a capybara that's in West Side Story?
I don't know, what?
A snappy barra.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed catching up. I promise to be a little bit more organized in the next episode, but I had to start somewhere. What you guys didn't see is the 2 hours that it took to get even recording today. So we're going to take what we got and promise to improve as we go. But next time, next week, when you tune in, we're going to talk about Asunción, which is the city I live in, and sort of Paraguay generally. We're going to go over some history, some facts, geography.
That sounds like a really fun time, Nicole.
I can't wait, Zoe. Thanks for bearing with me today, Zoe, specifically for the 2-hour delay. And thanks for doing this whole little Tejere Talks series with me. I'm so glad I'm not having to talk to myself.
I'm so glad you're not having to talk to yourself as well. I'm having a great time sipping my Tejere and just enjoying chatting with you, as always.
Hasta luego. We'll talk soon.
Hasta luego.